hangry or just headache?
It's like, do you know, like, I think they call them, like, the knots or nubs in the back of your head?
Sure.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You got, like, those two
little nubs in the
back.
Yeah,
that's, like, where it's starting, and it's, like, creeping up on my face into the front, right above my eye, above my eyebrow.
Do you think it has anything to do with
temple.
Your need for coffee? Your caffeine?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the last time I had a cup of coffee was at 6:30 this morning.
Good Lord.
What am I doing?
What are you doing?
Because I was trying to be good and be like, oh, I'm going to like get up early and go on a walk. And then I came back and I was like, wow, it's 6:30.
Yeah.
I guess I need a cup of coffee. And then I didn't have another one.
Yeah.
And I should have had at least six.
You should have had at least six. Food is not good nor bad.
Food.
It's delicious.
And coffee are... my savior.
They sustain you.
Yeah, they do.
I need more coffee too.
I would love a cup of coffee. Oh, my son, that's so weird.
You did.
My brain froze.
Yeah,
I was like, burr.
I love that you're a weirdo. Coffee.
Thanks.
Time.
Coffee time. Welcome to the program. We are charities.
So weird. All right, we are here. It is season 4, episode 6, Podcast for Good. My name is Heather Lucas. I am the fiscal and policy coordinator for the Washington State Combined Fund Drive. I'm joined today by...
Jerrica Ferguson, the marketing and development coordinator for the Combined Fund Drive.
Yeah, and we need coffee. But but we are talking Ultimate Frisbee today, so that is ultimate. And also, I put an exclamation point.
I did.
In the title here.
I hope that gets included.
Exciting! Oh, it's going to get included. It's going to be all over the place.
Anything with the name Ultimate.
You have to have an exclamation point.
You have to have an exclamation point.
Yeah. I think that's a rule. I don't know if it's an APA rule or not, but...
Ultimate should be capped. Like, all capped.
Like, Ultimate!
And then Frisbee.
Yeah.
Like, gentle.
Yeah.
Like a
Hello, Frisbee, yeah.
Yeah, gentle.
Ultimate! Frisbee.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just like that?
I like that you do your hands.
Like extreme.
You're really extreme with them.
Yeah. Too bad this isn't a vlog, a vodcast, so that way you can see my gestures.
A vlog, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, vlog is not word. Is not the right word.
Well,
vodcast.
Vodcast.
Yeah, have you heard that? Yeah. Vidcast, is that a thing too?
Is that? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's make up some words. Let's just merge words.
Merge the words.
Merge the words. All right, so dorkiness aside, Jerrica and I spoke with Mel Clark, the executive director for Disc Northwest, and she talked to us about Ultimate Frisbee for a noob like myself, and then for a professional.
Oh my God, not even close. An amateur.
Jerrica has experience.
I have played one season.
One season.
In junior high.
Yeah, so
I
Mel...
I technically played a lot of Frisbee just outside of school.
Yeah, so Mel talked about the game, because I was like, I have no idea what it looks like.
I know, I learned that this morning before this podcast.
That I had no idea
what
it looks like, or that you even played.
Yeah, that you're like, have you even heard of Ultimate Frisbee? And I was like, yeah, I've played.
And I was like, you've played?
You've played.
How have you played? When did you play this?
How have you not told me this?
Why have we not had this discussion? I have so many questions.
Yeah.
So many questions that I can't include in the podcast, because I have questions.
Yep.
But yeah, so we talked about what Disc Northwest does and who they serve, and there are super programs for kids
and adults.
So that's great.
And it's cool that they work with schools, they work with also, you know, with public, with cities and stuff like that to develop these programs, and just, you know, what they're really working on for students' growth and kids' growth. It's just, wow. It's booming. It's cool.
There's a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah.
So before we get into the interview, I have a question of the podcast.
As one would.
As one would, yeah. It is kind of a little, like, boring, I feel. Like, I didn't go with my usual, like, hey, flair and rabbit hole discussion here.
You haven't had enough coffee.
I haven't had enough coffee. That is true. You have not had enough coffee, so I don't think it'd be fair to ask you a question that's, like, multifaceted here.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Helping me.
Also, I'm sorry I said multifaceted, too, because that's... That's maybe too much for brains to handle right now. Big words.
Continue.
All right, question of the podcast. Jerrica Ferguson, what is your favorite sport?
Soccer.
Now, Oh, flat out. Wow, that was quick.
Well, duh.
Yeah.
I
mean, so, yeah, even to play, honest. To watch, what do you...
Yeah, so play, watch, participate in.
Yeah.
Watch on TV.
Wear the gear.
Wear the gear. It's the only jerseys I've ever purchased.
Yeah.
I don't think I've never purchased American football.
Yeah, right.
I've only purchased soccer jerseys.
Okay.
What
jerseys? What teams?
Obviously...
Women's U.S.?
Women's U.S.
Yeah.
And I went to World Cup in Canada and watched them play. So great. And then I've also purchased a child-size MLS shirt for the Sounders because it was half the price of a normal jersey, and I said yes.
What'd you do with this?
I wore it.
A child-size, all
right. Well, I got, like...
Were you a child, or...?
Nope, I just... I'm an adult.
Hashtag don't relate.
Hashtag, it was like, could I fit in this? And
it doesn't matter.
And he was like, well, I'll wear a coat with it anyways.
Nice.
Is it comfortable? Probably not.
Mm.
Hashtag give me gear, Sounders.
Yeah. Hashtag sausage casing.
Kind of.
Yeah.
But yeah,
let's not say hashtag ever again.
No,
good Lord.
But what's your favorite sport?
Well, I...
Did you fall in love with Ultimate Frisbee?
Yes.
I think this might be your new jam.
Yeah, I was like, I would love to do that, but running 90 minutes at a time, maybe not. I'm not so sure, but you know, it's it is what it is. So I feel like I watch American football the most. Like, it's a family thing. We've done it all our family life, but I wouldn't say it's my favorite, even though Bears is my team. Like, they're my team. But I'm not, like, climbing and clambering over people to watch football.
Right. No, I feel that.
Yeah.
I get that. But also, go USA. Because, like, we're
I definitely,
currently, like, in the qualifying right now.
I love the women's soccer team.
Yeah, because they're great.
They are great.
They're great. Yeah. Also, equal pay.
Hey, I said it. Nice. Nicely done. So, we are going to kick it off to our interview with Mel Clark, the Executive Director of DISC Northwest. Here's that interview. Okay, so we're here with Mel Clark. She is the Executive Director of DISC Northwest. Mel, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So can you give us a little history about DISC Northwest and what your organization does for the community?
Sure thing. DISC Northwest is actually celebrating their 25th anniversary this year nonprofit. And they were organized around a group of folks who were adult recreational players that enjoyed playing the sport of Ultimate Frisbee and ran one large tournament. And from that beginning, with really a handful of players 25 years ago, we're now serving almost 10,000 players across the Western Washington.
Wow.
We have programming from Olympia through Bellingham.
Okay.
And about half of our players are youth, age third grade through 18.
Okay.
And we are the fastest growing sport in the city of Seattle and King County.
Yeah.
Really?
And the Aspen Institute's State of Play research study that was done in combination with the UW and King County has determined that we're the third most popular organized youth sport in King County.
That's
really
awesome.
So the popularity is skyrocketing among youth in our communities.
Okay.
And we're expanding our staff and working very hard to create opportunities for youth in more cities and more parts of Western Washington.
Very nice.
I do have a question on that. Talking about you're serving youth. Are you in the schools? Because when I played Ultimate Frisbee, I played in junior high because it was on top of our cross-country team. I don't know who put it on, but I just remember we always played games and played against different people all the time. So I was just curious, are you involved in the schools? Or are you just part of your own public?
Where did you go to middle school?
I went to North Kits, or Paulsboro Middle School. Junior high at the time.
We don't know who put that program on either. We do have an official middle school program in partnership with Seattle Public Schools in the fall.
Yeah.
And that's a Seattle Public Schools program
that
they fund and we support. But we have school-based programming in some communities. It's very closely affiliated with the school, and in others it's just within a community defined by a school. And we run elementary, middle, and high school programming year-round. Mm-hmm. Our elementary school league will be coming up this spring, and it's our fastest growing program. Last year we served 76 elementary school teams, and this year my youth director is predicting we're going to have about 100.
Oh, wow.
And we also run the only elementary school Ultimate Frisbee tournament in the world.
Wow.
All right. Before we get any further on that, so we probably have some listeners that are actually wondering how an organization that's focused on Ultimate Frisbee is a nonprofit or a charity, right?
Sure.
So could you talk a little bit about how your organization provides these charitable benefits to our community and that what does...
Absolutely. We work very hard with our community and our donors to raise funds so that school programs and teams that are based in lower income communities or have a higher percentage of free and reduced lunch don't have to pay any fees to play. We also provide stipends for coaches in those programs so that those communities can help attract a more qualified coach.
Mm-hmm.
And so that they can be put on an equal footing. A lot of our high school teams are at private schools,
mm-hmm.
And a smaller school or a less affluent school is just not going to be able to attract a coach and compete with that. So we try and balance out the competitive field and give a higher quality program in those schools.
Mm-hmm.
So we provide coach training, some stipends for coaches, shared resources. We help hunt for those coaches. We put on free learn-to-play clinics in communities to try and develop new players and attract more youth to the sport.
So can you walk us through a game of Ultimate Frisbee for our listeners who have never played? Like, what's the scoring structure? What is the game like?
Essentially, if you've never seen Ultimate, it's a cross between soccer and flag football.
Okay.
You score by getting the disc across the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
There's seven players on the field. It can be played single or mixed gender.
Okay.
And you, it's a really fast-paced, dynamic game. You can't run with the disc.
Okay.
So you have to, built in, teach the kids teamwork because they have to pass and they have to work together as a team in a way that's unique among sport.
Okay.
So games are fast-paced and fast-moving, except sometimes it takes a long time to score that point.
Sure.
So kids run a lot. I've had some athletic directors and PE teachers say they love Ultimate because the kids are running as much as they would training for cross-country.
Oh, wow.
You sub out when a point is scored. So you'll flip from offense to defense constantly
during
the game if it's a long point that happens.
Sure.
And Ultimate is a non-contact sport.
Okay.
And so bumps and trips and things happen, but generally you're working to avoid having contact on the field.
Okay.
And one of the things that we think is the coolest thing about Ultimate, particularly when working with youth and youth development, is that Ultimate Frisbee embeds every social and emotional learning competency.
Yeah.
In order to play the game, which is also self-refereed, kids have to learn how to navigate the rules and one another. They have to develop self-awareness, self-management, responsible decision making, relationship skills, and social awareness.
Okay.
Not only do they have to stop the game when they're fouled and have the confidence to say, hey, that was a foul, then they have to talk to the opposing player, negotiate, discuss what happened, review the rules, decide which rule is applicable, decide the outcome of that rule, and do everything that a referee would do,
mm-hmm.
or that would be, you know, called into New York to review the play.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
You have 8 and 9 year olds doing this during the game. The coaches can't wait in and do it for them.
Yeah. Okay.
So you have to teach them that awareness to a point that they can have those negotiations on the field. And as they grow and develop as players, understand the other player's point of view too,
yeah.
and develop that empathy. Mm-hmm. So it builds teamwork and community in a way that's really unique among sport.
And then for a game, how long is your typical game?
We'll vary a little bit with youth. Mm-hmm. Elementary school games can be shorter, but it's generally a 90-minute game.
Okay.
Or you score until you reach, or you have a
like
hard,
a cap?
Yeah, you have a hard cap.
That
you'll say, hey, the time's about up, so the next point will end it.
Okay.
And various intricacies like that.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't think I ever lasted 90 minutes. I'd be like,
I'm out. Tap me out.
Yes, I definitely understood at that point why the cross-country kids liked to play Ultimate.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But our school used it as well, and it's definitely something that makes you as a student have to speak up, and especially at that age. It's so wonderful to be able to say, like, no, that was wrong. And I think, you know, as a student, that is sometimes the most difficult peer-to-peer.
Yep.
And, you know, questioning that and reviewing those.
In elementary and in middle school, we run all of our programming mixed gender. So you have boys and girls learn to interact and negotiate with one another on the field that way. And that's pretty amazing at the middle school level to keep that communication going.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then for your programming, do you do adults?
We do.
Okay.
We have over 5,000 adult players that participate in our program. And
okay.
We run leagues year-round and tournaments.
Nice.
For adult players.
So you kind of asked, you already answered, you know, why you combined it all, what sports were combined when it comes to Ultimate Frisbee, and it, you know, creates the greatest of all sports, because I also played soccer. So your organization mission talks about instilling the spirit of the game at all levels of play. Can you explain what the spirit of the game is?
Spirit of the game is essentially an honor code, mm-hmm. that says, hey, you should do the right thing. for the right reasons because it was right.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the guiding principle that helps sort of bring those negotiations together. I was fouled. I didn't foul you. You're making it up. Those sorts of conversations shouldn't start. Oh, you thought you were fouled? Explain to me what happened.
Mm-hmm.
That we should be going that direction, mm-hmm. towards that connectivity and that seeing the other person's point of view.
Like civility, bringing civility to a game.
Right. And sportsmanship.
Yeah.
Being decent to one another. And it doesn't just apply to the players on the field. We expect this of the parents and the spectators. And a parent that is booing the other team and calling insults,
mm-hmm.
and being displaying poor sportsmanship is not following the spirit of the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could you actually talk a little bit about, since we were talking about youth, what do you hear from the parents?
We hear so much from the parents. What do we hear from the parents? We'll have parents that say to us, you know, we tried every sport out there and my kid didn't think they were athletic and we found ultimate. 3 years ago, or after playing for 3 years, they looked at me and went, wow, Mom, I'm an athlete.
Nice.
And they sort of find a home and they find their inner athlete in a way that they weren't able to connect to another sport.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because they weren't really ready to be coached in a more power structure sport sort of way, or they just really needed that peer component. We know research has shown us that girls participate in sport because they want to be with their friends. And that's a draw. We also know that the majority of women CEOs played sports.
Oh, wow.
So keeping girls active in sports, their participation in sport begins to fall off at age 9.
Yeah.
Keeping girls active in sport is a critical part of what we do every day, creating those pathways and playing mixed gender and getting them involved and having equal footing on the field are some really neat things that Ultimate can do. And that could be what's helping attract more people to a program, just because it's a little bit different than getting on the swim team and putting your head down and not talking to anyone and banging out the laps and having the coach yell at you and then go home.
Right.
Those sorts of things. Cut that part about the coach yell at you. It's really different than, being on a swim team and just putting your head down and putting out the laps. There's more social time built in. There's more social interaction.
Right.
And we think that helps attract people to the sport.
And it's constant communication on that field, right? Is because just because I have the Frisbee, now I have to stop. So someone else has to move. We can't, as a team, move without everybody moving together. Is kind of how I always, because to make any play, you have to keep that going. It's not a selfish game in Ultimate, right? Like, you can't score all on your own. It's not, even though you're on a team, you can just be like, we're always going to give it to this one player.
Right. You can't do that.
Yeah, you can't.
Or the other team's going to figure that out really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And your training and your drills are all about different patterns, how we're going to work together. And if this opportunity is not available to you, then who do you turn to? And then how do you move the disc from there?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of time spent on teaching that collaborative play. The other thing that's really fantastic about Ultimate is that it's a really low barrier to get started.
Yeah.
If you're going to play football,
mm-hmm.
you're not playing at a high level without a lot of training, a lot of conditioning, a lot of pads, a lot of equipment. If you're going to swim, you go from beginning swim lessons to a swim team. It can take years to get a kid there. You can put a disc in a kid's hand and get them on the Ultimate field and playing a game within just a few weeks.
Yeah.
We do the same thing in our adult programming every year. We have a league in the spring called Vern's League for the vernal equinox.
Oh, nice.
And that's a beginning league where we take any adult that wants to go out, be active, be social, make new friends. Great for someone that's just moved to the region, and start playing a sport and teach them the basic rules and the basic disc handling and the basic drills. And by week 3, they're playing a mini game.
Yeah.
And we have groups that get randomly assigned to a team on that event in the spring that are still, they formed a team and now they play in our team leagues and they're still playing 10 and 15
that's
years
nice.
Later together.
So with the schools, obviously you're using like facilities at the schools, like fields at the schools.
Mm-hmm.
But for your adult leagues, where are you playing? Where are you practicing?
We rent fields for all of our adult leagues all over from cities. We have a fall league in Olympia.
Okay.
And we rent from community college and city parks and some school fields when they're available or in the summer.
Yeah.
We rent fields all the time for our programming.
Yeah, nice.
So you talk about how, you know, Ultimate Frisbee is booming. So what does this growth look to you? How did you get to this massive growth, and where do you guys now plan on taking the growth you've just seen?
There's been a lot of hard-working volunteers that really built this organization and created these opportunities for youth and adult to play. Our staff has been growing. My predecessor quadrupled the size of the organization in the 12 years that he led Disc Northwest. We are seeing growth now in our youngest and our elementary school leagues, and in our summer camps. We've gone from having 6 weeks of summer camp to we'll have 18 weeks of summer day camp this summer, pushing into more communities.
Yeah.
We're expanding our small evening adult leagues into more communities. We've added leagues in Tacoma, in Bellingham, in Shoreline. And we see the growth continuing to just steadily increase. While we're the third most popular youth sport in King County, 80 to 90% of that's only in the city of Seattle.
Oh, wow.
So the opportunity to get kids playing a sport that they just clearly fall in love with is enormous.
Sure.
And so we're actively, we've expanded staff, so we're preparing to work with new school districts and new cities and begin new youth leagues. Mm-hmm. And we'll tend to start that with a free learn to play clinic and then some class series and recruit and train some coaches
and
watch it grow from there.
That's great. That's
so awesome. Are you yourself a player?
I am not.
Okay.
I have very little experience with Ultimate Frisbee when I was hired at Dis Northwest, but I'd worked in youth sports programming and aquatics and nonprofits for almost 18 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so bringing me on board was a huge compliment to our existing staff and their expertise in developing Ultimate programming. So I'm not in program development. I'm in giving them the tools to go do what they're already so good at.
Yeah. So you've seen this. You've seen youth growing and, you know, experiencing sport and, like, the skills. You've already talked about it, too. But what do you think the greatest benefits for someone who is brand new to the sport? What do you think the greatest benefits they're going to get out of playing, whether they're a child or an adult?
They're going to make a friend.
Okay.
They're going to run around outside and be active.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be part of a team.
Yeah. And teamwork leads to so much more, right?
Just the joining and the belonging.
Yeah.
You know, I think youth and adults today, we're on our phones, we're on our devices, or we're stressed out from work, or we're stressed out about our homework. And being able to just put that load down and go run around and be a kid or be a kid again.
Yeah.
And make a friend and or bring a friend. Just goes a long way to that outlet that we all need.
That's good. So let's say someone hears this podcast and they want to begin giving to Disc Northwest.
Thank you.
Yeah. can you talk about what donations do for your organization?
Absolutely. Donations allow us to provide financial assistance for all our youth players. We want families to focus on playing, not paying. And last year we provided a scholarship for 1,842 youth to play.
Very nice.
We give away hundreds and hundreds of discs every year to lower income teams or youth groups that are playing. And so it costs us about $5 to put a disc in a kid's hand.
Okay.
So a $100 donation lets us give out a whole lot of discs.
Yeah.
We do free coach development and training clinics. We think coaches can never get enough training. It should always be growing and always becoming more effective.
Mm-hmm.
And so our coach training and development program is free for all of our youth coaches to attend.
Okay.
Then I referenced earlier, we help provide some financial support so people can take that time off work or organize their day so they can show up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and coach a youth team.
Yeah.
And so it helps us really develop and grow coaches. And building those coaches and helping more people become and be able to afford volunteering their time to coach is really our biggest limiting factor in putting programming into a new community.
Do you have a lot of people who come and volunteer?
We do. We have at least 200 volunteers a year that work within programming. Someone that comes to our adult beginning league and helps train new and teach new adults how to play is volunteering a lot of their time. Yeah, they're playing in the league, but they're not really playing in the league like they might, you know, in a more advanced league.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a lot of really passionate adult players that come and give back and do a lot of that coaching and teaching.
Nice.
So, do you have any upcoming events or programs you'd like to highlight?
We do. We have a spring break day camp in Seattle, in the south end of Seattle, that has lots of space left. We'd love to have people come give that a try. Financial aid is available.
Mm-hmm.
We have 18 weeks of day camp throughout the summer, including a camp in Tacoma, Shoreline, and all over Seattle, as well as Bellevue. We have our summer leagues for adults. In the summer, we run a league for just about every adult. We have a master's league, a women's league, a men's league, and we also have a corporate team. So you could get a group from work and come out and join. And that's one of our fastest growing adult leagues. We had to expand that league last year and find more fields.
What's the size for a team?
You do really well with 15 to 20, and it's mixed, so you'll
that's
want
great.
You know, seven or eight women minimum on the group.
Yeah.
And so it'd be real fun to get some new groups out. out doing that and giving that a try.
Yeah.
And then we have coach training clinics.
Okay.
They come out all the time. So if you used to play and you like working with youth.
Hint, hint.
Hint.
I just said coach yesterday for soccer, actually, for U9. So.
Yeah, and if you've played soccer and haven't played a lot of Ultimate and your kid's at a school that has Ultimate Frisbee, please think about joining us
of
in
course.
Coaching or assisting on their team, because we always need more coaches.
Yeah.
Ultimate is such a great, great sport. I had the funnest time because I got to also connect with my brother, who also played Ultimate. He's 6 years older than I am. So after school, it's really a generational thing, because my dad growing up, right, he played Frisbee all the time. To him, it wasn't really an Ultimate game. I mean, I'm sure they had it. So it was kind of this cool generational thing that we all got to do playing in the field. And then when I got to go to school, I kind of got to be like, I know how to throw a Frisbee, where a lot of kids at that time didn't really know how to play Frisbee unless it was, you know, during PE or, you know, at recess or whatnot. So it's a wonderful sport.
And we run a lot of organized competition and leagues, but families can pick up a disc and go outside and play together. And having a little bit of disc skills opens up more of that free play.
Okay.
And that's just as important. Kids need more access to free play opportunities. And
you
don't need a whole lot of grass to get a little pick up, toss the disc around happening.
Yeah.
And it's just fun. You get to like manipulate a disc. And that's what attracted me, is being able to see my brother curve it the way that you can curve a Frisbee. Was like, well, I want to do that, you know, so.
Yeah, when I joined Disc Northwest, one of the first games that I got to watch was a showcase game between Team USA and Team Canada.
Wow.
And that was maybe the second game I watched after joining.
Yeah.
And the first was a middle school game, you know, and it's really fun to see the development that can happen and the skills and the athleticism that can be developed in Ultimate. And it's just as fun to be going to a park and setting up for a free learn to play clinic and coming across some kids that were hanging out in the park throwing a disc just because it was fun and they were out there.
Yeah.
You know, and we get to see both in our work every day.
Right on. Mel, thank you so much for coming down and telling us about Disc Northwest and getting Jerrica excited again for Ultimate Frisbee.
Yeah.
We'll see you in that coaching clinic.
There we go.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Okay, so that was our interview with Mel Clark, the executive director of Disc Northwest. I don't know about you, because you've played the sport before, but I learned a lot.
Learned a lot as well, but not necessarily about like how to play the sport.
Sure, yeah, because you already knew.
I already knew, but I will say is I really appreciated Mel coming in, because it definitely was like, oh, I do want to go throw a Frisbee. So.
I kind of feel like the last couple of charities that we've done podcasts with, I'm like, man, I want to be a youth symphony kid. Oh, man, I want to be a rock star. Oh, man, I want to go and play Frisbee.
Yeah.
Like, stop with your compelling stories, charities. Can you stop?
Yeah.
I can't do it all.
What I love, though, is, like, I think actually Ultimate would be good. I think you'd like it, actually. Yeah.
I
think your people are there, too.
My people? Like the weirdos? Is that
what
you mean?
No, I just mean...
Who are my people? Tell me more about my people.
I just mean your people. Like, you have friends, and I feel like your brother would like to play Frisbee. I could see Buck being into Frisbee.
Yeah.
Yeah. I played Frisbee.
He did disc golf for a while. Both my brothers did.
Then they would probably like throwing a Frisbee with you.
Yeah, so for the leagues that they have, it was interesting to me about this corporate league scenario, because when she said corporate league, when Mel started talking about that, immediately I started picturing people we work with and being like, oh yeah, that'd be crazy, first of all, because you're doing stuff outside the office.
It's always interesting seeing people outside the office, not
right?
there, and like where
not
we work,
in their element.
There's like suit and ties.
Yeah. So like you see these people out of their element, but also if we're like on a field running for 90 minutes, like we're going to have a lot of people tagging out.
Yeah, you know, I will say, though,
I would be one of them.
I would say, well,
first to admit.
Yeah, I would say, though, is like, because I've played on the softball league.
Yeah, I did,
so,
too. I did one game, I think.
I think I did one tournament.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the same.
Yeah.
And I feel like you learn something about something. Like, I learned.
You do.
I'm a lot more competitive off the field. Or on the field than I am in like in the workplace, because like people are like, wow, Jerrica's really taking this game seriously. I'm like, yeah, I take every game seriously.
Why aren't you?
Yeah.
Show up.
And then I realized these are my coworkers.
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry,
I'm
supervisor.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's cool that they
get
do all this stuff. Get your head in the game. it's cool that they do all this stuff for kids and for any kind of youth, but also having these resources available for adults is really great as well.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, actually.
Yeah. So I'm going to start hearing about your ultimate Frisbee competitions on weekends, I'm sure.
I do have a Frisbee.
Oh, okay.
That I got from State Archives because they gave out Frisbees.
Well, that's
so
nice.
If you ever want to throw it, let me know.
Let's just go out to the flag circle and throw it.
I've seen people play catch out there.
Okay. I'm not saying it's bad.
Okay. Can we even go on the grass?
I don't know. Let's try it. Let's see if we get kicked off. So, CFD rules. Break the rule and ask for forgiveness, right? No, that's not what we do. We don't do that at all.
Cut that.
Okay, so we have recognition events. We still have some we're kind of trying to figure out for Spokane and Whatcom counties, but we had the Snow King event.
Yeah, so the Snow King event was on March 3rd. It was at the Center of Urban Horticulture. It was really awesome. I just really do deeply appreciate all the volunteers that... really give back to the CFD, and it's just fun. Like, it's fun to be with them and see what they've done and listen to different events that won, and you know, the newcomers with the rookie of the rookie award, and just Snow King volunteers do such a great job. And I don't know if Carrie listens, but I just wanted to give one more shout out to Carrie Fuller. She was the UW campaign leader, and we're just so proud of her for all the work that she's done for dozens of years, and it's definitely going to be different, but we know JoLynn will do great filling that role for her. We gave Carrie previously a challenge coin, but we also presented her a certificate thanking for her for all of her work. So big thank you to Carrie and UW for just all their effort in putting this event together.
And then we have just a few things upcoming in the next few months. One of them is Well Fed, Well Read, April 1st through the 15th. It's going to be here in Thurston County.
And in Spokane as well. So Spokane, we're going to be working with Second Harvest and United Way of Spokane for that book collection portion. And then here down in Thurston is the Thurston County Food Bank. And we'll also be working with South Sound Reading Foundation. It's really cool. We'll be collecting books, collecting food, raising money. And this is something that the CFD is looking towards, really pushing out to all counties. Our goal was going to be Bellingham this year, but just with change in CFD staff, as you guys know, Philip wasn't with us anymore. We are pushing forward and just making sure these two counties feel as much support as they need. And then in the next year, we're going to get a few more, hoping down in Clark and in Whatcom County.
Yeah, and then a little further into the future, we already have a date for our leadership breakfast. Our annual leadership breakfast is going to be May 7th. It will also be at SPSCC, the Lacey campus.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have even more fantastic SPSCC food there.
And it's going to be really great. We're really going to be focusing on leaders in our state agencies and really talking about the benefit the CFD gives to these leaders and their agencies and their divisions. It's going to be a really fun thing between 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. and the doors open at 7:30. Make sure that you register before you do come.
Seating is limited.
Space is limited. Is very limited in this space, so there's that.
We want to make sure we get everybody in there who's registered and signed up and inspiring them for the campaign.
Yeah,
to come.
It's going to be a really exciting time. We actually have a Habitat for Humanity for South Puget Sound. They are going to be presenting as one of our charities, doing this really unique thing where we're going to actually talk to a donor and a recipient. So it'll be a cool like 3-part series you're going to participate in.
Yeah, it'll be great. So that's it for this episode. Ultimate Frisbee Extreme.
Extreme
Ultimate Frisbee. We hope that you've enjoyed it today.